We got the alternative energy. Right. Nuclear free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the Radioactive Show. Today on the program, we'll take a look at two grassroots campaigns that are taking action at sites that are globally significant for their military operations and are addressing both the local and global impacts of these facilities. I'm Michaela, and I'll be bringing you conversations with Alison from Demilitarize Newcastle and Adam from Imbantwa for Palestine. These grassroots mobilizations are the latest iteration of a long history of resistance to both the occupation of Aboriginal lands and the military-industrial complex. First up, we'll hear from Alison about the Earth Care Not Warfare week of mobilization to get weapons out of Newcastle that runs from the 1st to the 9th of December. Firstly, could you tell us a bit about the formation of the group and what inspired you to get involved?
So Demilitarize Newcastle really comes from a bunch of us in Moolabimba, Newcastle, who were, I suppose, loosely connected, and we wanted to get more intentional about our organising, particularly around militarisation, because it was becoming clear that Moolabimba was on course to be a major weapons manufacturing hub. Quite a few of us had worked on environmental campaigns, including what we call a just transition away from coal. So obviously coal to weapons is not the just transition that we've been fighting for. And what inspired me to get involved was really a sense of urgency and at times a sense of despair, because like many of us, I was watching a live-streamed genocide in Palestine and knowing that weapons parts that were being made in my own neighbourhood were enabling that genocide. And I think I was also inspired by that intentionality around the way that we organise. So Demilitarize Newcastle is a pretty awesome bunch of people, not just for their skills, but also their orientation towards a more radical politics. And it's a group of people that very much understands connections between big systems like imperialism and capitalism and militarism, and know that we need to be fighting those systems if we are going to achieve the change that we need.
It's so important to have that sort of analysis at the core of our work. And Moolabimba, so-called Newcastle, has been a significant site for the undeclared war that saw the establishment of the colony of Australia on this continent, and it has developed into a hub for extractive industries, being the world's largest coal port, and also for the military being a major base, particularly in World War II. Tell us a bit about that history and how that has shaped the region.
Yeah, I mean, really powerfully, I would say. As you said, like everywhere in this colony, there's the brutality of settlement and the ongoing genocide of First Nations peoples, being the Awabakal and Worimi people in this region. We have, as you said, extractive and polluting industries like coal, and obviously, you know, the steel industry also really dominated our landscape for quite a number of decades. We've got a RAF base, so there's a really strong military presence here. We also have a sizable jail. So there's lots of signifiers of settler colonialism here in Moolabimba. But there's also always been, and there still is, resistance to that. And I think what Demilitarize Newcastle has realised and what we're orienting towards is that there's an opportunity for Moolabimba to really be thinking about what the resistance to those forces looks like. So, you know, I believe, and others in Demilitarize Newcastle hold strong values and practice around things like community care, and through things like mutual aid, obviously. We're really committed to building organising practices that embody the change that we're fighting for. So it's a bit of a catch-all phrase, but, you know, decolonial practices that resist some of the patterns that might have shaped or continue to shape organising and resistance, particularly amongst groups that are predominantly settlers and white people. But mostly I think what's important for Mulubimba at the moment is this recognition that we need to stop appealing to the system that is never going to change for us. You know, the military-industrial complex has no ethic. It doesn't even orient towards international humanitarian law. And the political enablers of the military-industrial complex are also not going to listen to our appeals. So really, Demilitarise Newcastle is about taking more disruptive action, building our capability and building the movement so that we can do that in more sustained and tangible ways. And I guess having conversations about the need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Before we go into discussing the actions that you have got planned, could you just outline some of the existing military industrial operations in the region?
Yeah, there is so much. So one of our members of parliament is the Minister for Defence Industry, Pat Conroy, whose job is doing deals with arms companies and handing out literally billions of our taxes to those corporations. He, of course, is wheeling out the "this is good for jobs in the region" line, but there is so much evidence that the arms trade is an economic dead weight. You know, it sucks a lot of capital. It's really good for the weapons billionaires, but it's not particularly good for jobs. But we are fighting that narrative in the region. We also have a vice chancellor of the University of Newcastle who is an ex-defence officer. He has really close ties to the arms industry. He's increasing the weapons partnerships that the University of Newcastle holds, and he and the university is part of what is called the Defence Innovation Network. There is a character called Tim Owen who heads up an agency whose job is to push small to medium enterprises to make weapons parts for those big weapons corporations. He is ex-RAF and an ex-MP, and he's been involved in illegal wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He has fought in those wars for so-called Australia. And we also have Newcastle City Council. So they are the host of a major weapons manufacturing hub called Astra Aerolab. They're hosting it because this hub is being built on council land. And both Labor and Liberal councillors are all in on this, despite the fact that partnerships and profiting from the arms industry very clearly goes against council's own policies.
Yeah, I mean, that is a lot.
It's a lot. And that's not all of it.
Yes, I'm sure. Oh, gosh. Okay. And so if you could just tell us briefly about some of the activities that the group has already been involved in, and then we can go into talking about the Weapons Out of Newcastle mobilisation.
Yeah, for sure. So Demilitarise Newcastle, I suppose, has two primary focuses. One is community outreach and raising awareness about what's going on, because we know that there are very few decent people, thinking people, who believe that this push to militarise our region is a good thing for against any indicator. So we do a lot of knowledge production and outreach, and I guess try and share information about some of those aspects of what the landscape looks like here in terms of militarisation. And we also do things like tickets of weapons factories here and of arms expos. So we do hard tickets which are aimed at resisting those types of activities, and also building capacity for people in the community to take really strong action, which includes putting our bodies on the line, really, in order to resist the military-industrial complex.
Mm. And you have got an incredible looking schedule coming up for your Weapons Out of Newcastle mobilisation, which runs from the 1st to the 8th of December. And that will follow on from the People's Blockade of the world's largest coal port, which is happening from the 27th of November to 2nd of December. Tell us about what you've got planned.
Yeah, well, more is being planned as we speak. So there's a number of political and economic targets in the community, so weapons producers, as well as politicians who are enabling the horrors that Australian-made weapons parts are responsible for across the world. So we have a significant march, which is about coal to weapons not being a just transition for our community or for the planet. So that will be a march that includes engagement with some coal infrastructure and some weapons companies, but primarily about coming together as a community and showing up in numbers to let the decision makers know that we reject the militarisation of our community. So we have quite a few actions like that planned and others being developed even as we speak. For more information about that, the best thing to do is follow Demilitarise Newcastle on Instagram for the program and any updates as they happen. And you can always message us. And something to keep in mind is that there's a range of types of actions for people, but there's also lots of time for upskilling and community building in the program as well.
If people are hearing this, we've got listeners right across the continent and they don't know anyone in Newcastle, but they'd like to come and get involved. It sounds like it's going to be a pretty welcoming and great space for people to arrive to.
Absolutely. It is a welcoming crowd here. As you mentioned, there is already a significant mobilisation in the community against coal. There's lots of people here at the moment from out of town and even interstate. A number of them are going to stay on for the Weapons Out of Newcastle mobilisation. And then we've got a bunch of other people coming from further afield as well, specifically for the Weapons Out of Newcastle mobilisation. We are set up with accommodation and catering support and really happy to host and welcome people to this part of the world.
Fantastic. Well, we wish you all the best and we'd love to catch up with you afterwards to hear how everything went. And for listeners across the continent that are concerned about what they're hearing but they can't make it in person to the mobilisation, are there good ways that they can support you, or are there networks that you recommend they connect with?
Yeah, that's such a good question. If people would like to support Demilitarise Newcastle, come to the next mobilisation. But seriously, there's lots of work to do in terms of research and producing knowledge and things like freedom of information requests, where we would love some capacity with our campaign. We also work with a lot of others. As you said, there are other places that are resisting the military-industrial complex. And we learn from them. So places like Wollongong and the Bisalloy picket down there, Western Sydney, campaigns in Nam. And we also do things like hold formation sessions online or skill building sessions online, including with some of those comrades. The other thing I think that people really could do that's helpful to the movement generally is to talk to people about this course that we're on this continent towards militarisation. Because people don't know about it. It's not something that's well publicised or framed in terms of a threat to things like peace and security. So I think talk to people about how heavily so-called Australia is putting us on a course towards increased militarisation. There's the goal to be one of the top 10 weapons producers on the planet. And of course, in the context of us being tied to the psychopathic US empire, it's really important that people are aware now of this course that we're on and start taking action wherever and however they can.
Yeah, we're going to be speaking to Adam from Mbantwa for Palestine on today's show as well.
They are incredible comrades taking on what is probably the most significant surveillance facility outside of the US, which we know is providing surveillance to the United States, to Israel, and to other genocidal regimes. So if people feel like they can mobilise and get to the East Coast to be part of things like Weapons Out of Newcastle, please also know that you can mobilise to beautiful Mbatha country, help our comrades there, and we have great strength in our numbers. So, yeah, let's support one another and keep growing those numbers.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much again, Alison, for joining us on the show today.
It's my pleasure. Hope to see you all in Moolabimba.
You're tuned to The Radioactive Show, produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio on unceded Kulin lands in Fitzroy, Victoria, and is broadcast across the continent thanks to the Community Radio Network. We've just been speaking with Alison from Demilitarised Newcastle, and you can find out more on their website, noweaponsnewcastle.com. Next up, we'll hear from Adam from Mpantwa for Palestine, a group that has been protesting the role of the Pine Gap Joint US-Australian Facility in the Israel-Palestine conflict since October 2023, and draws a connection between the settler colonial histories of both Australia and Palestine, highlighting shared themes of dispossession, dehumanisation and control. Start by introducing yourself and how you got involved with the group.
Yeah, so my name's Adam. I live out in Mbantwa in Alice Springs. And yeah, just a member, I'm just a member of the community. Obviously really distressed and upset with, you know, what's happening in Palestine and around the world as well, in Sudan and Congo and even in this colony. So that's how I got involved in with Mpantwa for Palestine, and you know, really just wanting to be, you know, in protest against the complicity that is, you know, that our government is involved in the genocide, especially through the use of places like Pine Gap, which uses our land to actually perpetuate genocide.
Yeah, and tell us a bit about the relationship of the group with the Arunda people.
Yeah, so all the actions that have taken place at Pine Gap have been, like through Mpantwa for Palestine, have been in communication with Arunda folk and, you know, also with some of the traditional owners on that land. And yeah, Mpantwa for Palestine is also quite a broad group of people. The community of people who are against the genocide, not a select membership or this kind of thing. So that being said, you know, everyone's contribution and stuff, especially our underfolk, is always part of discussion and part of organizing.
My other interview for today's show is with Alison from the Demilitarised Newcastle group, and they talk about how the colonisation and the genocide of First Peoples is central to that whole story of the ongoing militarisation.
And that's first and foremost when it comes to Pine Gap as well, because Pine Gap is on unceded Arunda land, and we always... Our demand is close Pine Gap land back. It's the site of ethnic cleansing, genocide of First Nations people of that land. There's many families in NT and in Alice who have connections to Pine Gap, who have been deprived of access to it because of the military base. They've been ethnically cleansed from their land, and their demands are still for land back, you know. And that's present in all of our actions, and in everything, and that's the thing is, what we try to highlight is that the same force that was used on First Nations people on First Nations land is being exported out through these spaces that they've taken by force. It's being exported out onto Palestine and onto Sudan. You know, so what we're seeing in Gaza is an export of what's already occurred on this land and what's still occurring on this land.
Yeah, absolutely. There has been that history of secrecy about what actually goes on at Pine Gap. What has your group been able to learn about the operations and what you know is happening there right now?
Yeah, well, I think this idea of Pine Gap being a place shrouded in secrecy is honestly a myth, and it's a work of propaganda by the state to kind of muddy the waters as to what Pine Gap actually is. But what we know and what's, you know, being evidenced by, you know, you can look at the work of Richard Cantor and David Rosenberg and, you know, Pine Gap whistleblowers about what's going on over there. And what's known is that Pine Gap is collecting information. It's gathering information through satellites that orbit the Middle East or the Global South as a whole. And we know for a fact that they're gathering as much information as possible on the ground in, from Gaza. And that information is being fed back to the U.S. military. And we also know that the U.S. military feed that information over to the IDF, who are conducting gross drone strikes and bombing campaigns every day in Gaza, even since the ceasefire. So that, quote-unquote, ceasefire. So that information that is being gathered through Pine Gap, and that's what Pine Gap is, you know, it's an information gathering base. That's not a secret. That information goes somewhere, and what it translates into is bombs on the ground.
Yeah,
And it's not just Gaza. Like, I don't think we should stop there, because the U.S. like I don't think we should just speak about Gaza, because the U.S. also has military contracts with the UAE, and they have like information sharing agreements, military information sharing agreements with the UAE. So I think another thing that we should be asking as a country collectively is, how much of this information that's being gathered through Pine Gap is being fed to these different countries like the UAE, who are also participating and enforcing a genocide in Sudan at the moment?
Paint us a bit of a picture of what some of your actions have looked like.
Yeah, there's been a varied approach, you know, throughout, unfortunately, this time of genocide, this intensive period of genocide over the past few years in Gaza. You know, it started out early into this period of the genocide in late 2023 with people blocking the road to Pine Gap, and there were a few arrests that were made. Yeah, there were, I think, two blockades in late 2023 that resulted in arrests, and two people ended up in quite a lengthy court, which resulted in, actually, during the culmination of that court case, like, genocide. The fact that genocide is happening in Palestine was mentioned in the courts, and even acknowledged by the prosecution in the Alice Springs local court. That was quite a lengthy battle, and I think there's been a lot of people that have spoken on that. Maybe I'm not the best person to speak on the outcomes of that legally, but since then there has been another blockade that occurred recently, and halfway through the year there was also there've been these bi-weekly actions that have taken place, which are not really blockades but more just vigils and picnics that are kind of trying to maintain and normalize the presence out there of people who are protesting the actions of Pine Gap and Pine Gap employees. And they've been pretty successful in terms of, you know, having people out there and speaking about what's going on, raising awareness. Yeah.
This Saturday, you've got a convoy for Palestine. Tell us what you've got planned for that.
So, yeah, some people, I think, are just expecting to, yeah, hopefully meet up in their cars and go on a car convoy out to the base, an action that's been done before, like summer or last year. You know, people can keep cool in the car with the aircon and wave flags out the window, and it's just a way to kind of, again, occupy that space in a different way and raise awareness. And I think it's an invite for people to come in and do something that is not too risky or like too, this isn't anything that's breaking the law. It's not illegal to go out on onto Hat Road and to drive up to the Pine Gap sign, even though it does feel like intensely surveilled, and it does feel like you might feel like you're in the wrong because you're made to feel that way. But it's actually, yeah, it's not against the law. And I think that's the point of it. It's just that this space should be occupied by everyday citizens who are against the occupation and theft of that land.
Excellent. Yeah, as I mentioned, I was speaking to the Demilitarized Newcastle group about their upcoming mobilizations for Earth Care, Not Warfare, and to get weapons out of Mullabimba, Newcastle. How connected do you feel to the anti-colonial, anti-military movement that's happening across the continent?
Yeah, I think we are as connected as the mechanisms of the military-industrial complex require us to be, you know, because we're bound to all these different struggles in that these military equipment and parts that are being manufactured in the south of the country, you know, this is just another part of that machinery that Pine Gap also operates in by providing information. And then you have in the north, obviously, with the nuclear submarines that are being brought in and all this kind of intense militarization and weapons testing that's occurring in the north of the Northern Territory. And I think this requires us all to be interconnected in our struggle against militarism on this continent and more broadly in the global sense. I think our liberation is tied together. So we always need to be working together. And I think it's been really good seeing the things other people are doing in other parts of the continent. Alice Springs can sometimes feel like a very isolating place, being tribal and central, but it never feels that way, you know, when there's an action because of the support that these actions are getting from other groups who are conducting similar actions in places like New South Wales and Victoria and South Australia.
Is there anything else that you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, just for more details and information and updates about upcoming events, including the Saturday Convoy, check out Pines War for Palestine on Instagram. Everything, will be posted there if people want to join in, or if you have questions, you can just message the account. Looking into 2026, it's going to be 60 years of Pine Gap existing, being brought into existence. So, yeah, I think that people should keep that in their mind and, yeah, keep an eye out for all that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Adam, for taking this time. And we just heard there from Adam from Mpantwa for Palestine. And with the 60th anniversary of Pine Gap coming up next year, we look forward to catching up with them early in 2026 and learning more about their plans. Thanks so much to Alison and Adam for joining us on the show today. This program was produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio in Fitzroy, Victoria, and is broadcast across the continent thanks to the Community Radio Network. The Radioactive Show is produced with the support of the Nuclear Free Collective at Friends of the Earth Melbourne, and we'll be posting links to all the events that we've talked about in our podcast notes, and all our podcasts can be found at 3cr.org.au/radioactive. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in again next week for more news and views on nuclear peace and energy issues.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.